We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome in to Kenny Mayne from MLB Network, his new show. I'm in old ESPN mode. Brian Kenny, it's been 11 years, for goodness sakes. And we did have Kenny Mayne on as a guest just last week, so I still got Kenny's in my head, if you'll accept my apology. But Brian, it's been 11 years now on MLB Network. Congratulations to you and Kenny Mayne, whatever he's doing tonight.
Thank you. We used to open SportsCenter way back in the day, and Kenny would say, "Hey, it's me, Kenny Mayne," and Brian Kenny, no relation. that was a Kenny Mayne-ism, but that's all right. I'll take the flattery.
Thank you very much, Brian Kenny. Again, MLB Network. You can see him on MLB Tonight, the new show MLB Now. We will get into. Right now, we are looking at how the dust is settling from the trade deadline, and even though the Padres were the unquestioned A-plus winners, they're now 1-4, and sure, they ran into the Dodgers buzzsaw. They had to be a little stammered getting stymied last night by Alex Wood.
Yeah, they should be. I know Manny Machado said, you know, no big deal, and you can't get too swayed by, you know, a couple of games and that sort of thing, but at a certain point, you're thinking, we should be, you know, they added three quality bats in the middle of the lineup. You know, the number one hitter in the game, more or less. Josh Bell, who's probably a top 30 hitter in the game, and Brandon Drury, who's slugging over 500, like on top of a team that was already pretty good. So it is strange, but strange things happen in baseball. There's quality competition out there. And yeah, I maybe they just haven't found their groove. I would think their plate discipline and pitch selection would just improve with those guys. They were already pretty good, but they have not gotten in a rhythm as of yet.
The talk about Juan Soto dwarfed everything else about the trade deadline, and justifiably so. But did you see anything, and I'm not talking about a specific trade here, but just sort of a general trend about this trade deadline that maybe the Soto deal sort of obscured, but might actually have some lasting power?
Well, yeah, I think championship clubs put on some finishing touches. I thought, you know, the Braves made good moves. I thought the Mets made the best small moves. And I know some were disappointed because they're a big operator now, but they're kind of in a position, I don't know, more like the Dodgers of where they've got everything. So what are you going to do? And what they did is they cleared out their last three positions and added essentially like 1.5 excellent hitters in Tyler Naquin, Darren Ruff, and who's there? And Vogelbach, Daniel Vogelbach. So those are three guys who are all pretty good. They're above league average hitting, but platoon-wise, they're way above average. And that's all Buck Showalter's going to do. So that matters a lot. You know, again, the Mets are stacked. The Dodgers are stacked. Cardinals position players are very good. Padres, you know, are outstanding. So you've kind of got the top two, Dodgers and Mets, and then you've got the next tier of Padres and Cardinals and, I don't know, maybe Brewers and Braves, of course. Braves are in that mix. But I thought the Mets made themselves like Dodgers caliber or close to it to challenge for the National League Championship.
Kenny from South Park joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Were you as surprised as we were up here that the Giants, you know, not necessarily turn into buyers? That didn't look realistic. But, Brian, they didn't even become sellers. And I thought that they had a Carlos Rodon chip to play that could have really returned some talent to them. Rental or not, he's exactly the kind of pitcher contenders are looking to add. Were you surprised that Farhan Zaidi was so just kind of, you know, out of the conversation at the trade deadline?
You know, I have a theory. One, I've learned now that I don't question what Farhan is doing. You know, he knows what he's doing. It's not that he's going to be perfect, but he knows what he's doing. And I have this theory, Ray would love this, that what if a GM came in and did nothing? I have a whole theory, and I wrote an essay on it a few years ago, and I cited some different teams that had they just not done anything, just draft and develop, let your own players play, you'd be much better off. So I know we're very transactional in this modern ruthless GM era. Sometimes it's best to be patient, play it out. So that could still be the best course of action.
How much of that, though, is it become it almost a trade almost becomes performative to show your players down in the clubhouse that you're in there trying to make them better all the time, making it even harder to sit on your hands the way the Giants did?
I don't know. I hear that from players that, hey, I know if you go and get somebody, it means, you know, you're with us. I don't know. If you go and get somebody, you're taking somebody's job, aren't you? Like, I think it can cut both ways. I think the Giants are, I think the number of clubs saw where they were, and I think GMs are better at this now, looking at themselves realistically. Are we going to win this year? And I think the Giants can realistically look at it and say, we're not winning it all this year. It's not happening. Last year, there was a lot of magic, a lot of, you know, brilliant baseball ops and coaching work and performance maximizing. It's not happening this year. Again, those top tiers, you guys watch them every day. And I even, you know, a number of times I'll be watching a Giants game and looking at the lineup that they're rolling out and thinking, how are these guys going to win? And this year they haven't. They don't have the firepower to hang with the Dodgers and Mets, you know, let alone, you know, the Padres and the Cardinals and the Braves right below them. So it's just not happening. So I don't know, to make a move, you're right. Maybe, you know, trading Rodon at the height of his, you know, relevance and the height of his marketability. Maybe that's the smart move. But I don't know. I don't think you have to do it. And I think, you know, it's not like they're not thinking of things up there. They are.
Brian Kenny, MLB Network here on 95.7 The Game. So the inclusion of another wild card is certainly good in terms of fans leaning forward, continuing to pay attention, made the deadline sexier for sure in a lot of different ways. But have we really created something that is valuable outside of the monetary gains and attention gains for baseball? Have we diluted the competition and allowed the average a position in the playoffs it really never deserved?
I think, you know, it's a good point because I didn't like it at first. I wasn't sure. I think they hit the sweet spot. I'm actually glad the Players Association pushed back and did not take the seventh team. Instead, they went with the sixth. I think if you look at both leagues now, National League's a little stronger, but your top six are strong. Again, I just listed them. If you're saying that the last team, it's going to be, you know, the I don't know, the Cardinals, if they drop down, or the Brewers if they drop down, and then it's the Braves and the Padres, that's a high level of competition. That's a good level team. The American League is not quite as strong. That you have weaker teams fighting for that sixth spot. But I think it's at the sweet spot. If you dipped one below, now you get into kind of teams that you say, yeah, they were mediocre this year. Just like last year, I think the Reds may have been the sixth team had there been a sixth team, and I forget who would have made it in the American League. It was actually Toronto, I think. You still would have been pretty good, but you dipped to a seventh team, and now you're getting to a weaker club that you don't want to see in the playoffs. So I think this is working beautifully right now.
What would you find the more compelling, delightful wild card team, Seattle or Baltimore?
Oh, it's not Baltimore's time. Look, Baltimore is crazy. You know, I didn't even realize they'd won 22 out of 30 until today. I mean, I knew they were playing well and they're doing better. So, you're kind of right. Baltimore would be just like this insane revelation to be this, like, you've got to be kidding me, rising out of nowhere. I don't know, 2 years, 3 years ahead of schedule. But I think Seattle's a better club, and they've earned their way. They've kind of paid their dues, a 90-win team last year, and now they break through. I'd rather have Seattle, but I get it.
Brian, what is more responsible for creating a major league of essentially 220 hitters? What used to be an unacceptable average might be leading the lineup that night in terms of average. Is it the just mastery of pitching that we're looking at and specialization, or are you as angry at the humidor as I am?
No, I like it. I don't like to see singles dead, but I like to see home runs deflated. Home runs have gone back up a bit, and if home runs go back up to like 2019 levels, it's going to stink. The three true outcomes were rising to a ridiculous level. I yearn for 70s baseball sometimes, as much as I love the sabermetric movement. You know, again, when I loved Adam Dunn and I was kind of like, you know, powering his type of game and telling everyone how valuable a guy who, you know, draws 100 walks and hits 40 home runs is, no matter what his batting average is, I didn't expect a whole generation of players to do that. I didn't expect every player to come up and be that. So I'd rather have it incentivized. And the way you can do it, early in the season, we had it. Now, maybe the weather was cold, but early in the season, strikeouts went down a bit. The ball was not traveling as far. Home runs were down. The big guys were hitting them. The second baseman had stopped hitting those opposite field upper deck shots. So, like, we had gotten away from this, like, insane home run ball. And with it deflated to, and you guys know what I'm talking about, 1992 or 1986 levels. Not dead ball, but just normal baseball. I think we're much better off. As far as singles and batting average, look, we're just not incentivized to do that. But if we play a few years with home runs down, you'll see, we've seen it already a little this year, players hitting it the other way, beating the shift. We'll see more of that if you keep the home runs down.
Earlier in the year, it was pretty well agreed that the A's were the worst team in baseball. Has that changed to the point where it's now Washington's crown to hold on to? And how bad can they actually be when this is all done?
Bad. The A's are maybe, A's had a couple of trade pieces they didn't trade. Still, they still got some real players. The Nationals are bottoming out, but I think bottoming out is the thing to do. And maybe we are back to that, you know, where we were 8 years ago when the Astros and Cubs said, all right, we're going to rebuild, but we're really going to rebuild. We're tearing it down to the studs. It's like, you know, we're leveling this house, leaving nothing. Trade everybody, including Carlos Lee, like the Astros did. And now for a few years, it was like, that doesn't make sense. You can't have 10 teams doing that at the same time. You're not getting an advantage. But now with the extra wild card, I think we're getting more teams pushing forward. And if everybody's pushing forward, the move is to move back and retrench and do a drastic rebuild.
You know, it feels like there is a new sabermetric or analytical way to look at the game that, you know, hey, 3 years ago, we weren't talking about launch angles at all. And 2 years ago, it's all we discussed. And now we're not discussing launch angles nearly as much as we did just a couple of years ago. Brian, what do you think is the new trend? I know you are always on the cutting edge of looking at new numbers to explain what's happening in baseball. What has your full attention this season and these days?
I tell you, thank you for the question. It's perfect. It's right off what I was saying. If the home runs are deflated somewhat to normalized levels, and I'm talking late 80s, early 90s, or mid 1950s, even 1961 levels, like when you had, you know, Maris and Mantle, that was still like a normalized home run year. If that's happening, a team like the Cleveland Guardians can compete. Have you noticed what Cleveland has done this year? They have contact hitters. They have little guys. They have a superstar. They have Jose Ramirez. But they have Jose Ramirez, and they have a bunch of guys, Stephen Kwan, who get on base, hit for average, beat the shift. They're scrappy. They field. They gave contract extensions to guys like Miles Straw, who's a decent hitting but not good hitting, but tremendous defender in center field. They defend. They hit for contact. They beat the shift. They don't strike out. They play this small ball. And if home runs are normalized, they can compete, and it's worth it. If home runs start moving up, they start getting blown out by, you know, the White Sox, teams that will just lumber around, be not nearly as sharp defensively or offensively, but they will overwhelm them with power. So I always keep my eye on that. Right now, if we have normalized baseball, you guys tell me, I've kind of liked the way games go this year. We've seen a lot of low run scoring, seen a lot of close games. I know singles are not up, but you still see more regular baseball, which is better baseball.
Real quick, because we've kept you far longer than we should have, I suspect. Not because we don't want to talk to you, but because
whenever you get Kenny Rogers on, Ray, you keep Kenny Rogers as long as he'll prune for you.
Close to a decade, the team that every other team wanted to copy was Tampa. Is that changing? And if so, what's the new model?
Well, it depends. I think it's still the model. It's just that their margin of error is very small. I thought when they lost Kevin Kiermaier and Mike Zunino in 1 week for the year, I thought they're done. They don't have the depth for this. They spend no money. They have no margin. Look, clearly the model is to be the Rays with $300 million of payroll, and that's the Dodgers. You know, I thought, look, last year the Giants sprang up, and their model was we are maximizing performance. We have more coaches than everyone else. We have better matchups than everyone else. We're going to concentrate on the little things. We're going to maximize what we have, and everyone had to pay attention. It took a few months. I know I was doing the same thing, Ray. I was looking saying, you know, are these guys for real? And then I looked, you know, every series they're kind of winning. Every week they're winning. Every month they've got the same record. So this is working, and it works, but it's still difficult to replicate, especially when you lose Buster Posey and you lose that production at catcher. But I think every idea that springs up, you wonder, does that work? The Yankees are trying something different this year. You saw they had to get away from kind of the cold, hard, you know, sabermetric ball that they were playing, realizing, you know, we're losing every year at a certain point to a certain team, and why? And it could be a different team. One year it's the Astros, the other year it's the Red Sox. We need more. We need fielding. We need grit. We need contact. We need better at-bats. We need a little fire. And Anthony Rizzo, Donaldson, Isaiah Kiner, Falefa do that. And they continue to do that, getting rid of Joey Gallo. So, you know, everybody is watching what everybody else is doing. And I just mentioned a bunch of teams that are, you know, worth looking at, like Cleveland, the Yankees, Dodgers, Giants. And, yes, still the Rays. What the Rays do is remarkable.
Have you ever seen anyone more unique than Shohei Ohtani?
No, there's never been anyone like him, including Babe Ruth. By the way, Babe Ruth never did both in the same, like, week or month. He was great for a stretch pitching, great for a stretch hitting, did that for essentially 2 years, and then became a full-time hitter. Nobody has done this. Nobody. And him doing it now is insane, where we're talking about these sophisticated matchup things that they do. How he does that is we'll look back and say this was the most remarkable athlete of any time, any era.
If he does end up in another city, would any general manager ever be so bold to remove his uniqueness to focus on a strength? And if you had to focus on just one side of the Ohtani equation, would you want him further developed as a slugger or a starter?
All right. Do you already know where I'm going with this? Because people hate this.
I don't.
I know people hate this. Have you watched me? Have you seen me say this a few times or no?
No.
All right. I'd be so tempted if I'm going to invest in him. And I know people hate this. And I love having the new Babe Ruth. But if I'm investing, I don't know, what's it going to cost? $42 million a year? 7-year deal? 8-year deal?
At least.
If I'm investing that level of money, I might want him to just pitch. I'm not saying I'm right, but I'd say, what's my best chance of getting the production that I want from this guy? Watching him pitch this year, I'd switched. For last year, it was like, I need this guy to hit. This year, seeing him pitch, going, I really want to see him pitch. That game that he had in Kansas City last month, where he was in total command, I don't know, it was like Tom Seaver at his best. I think I'd want that guy to pitch. And I know it's crazy, he can slug 500, but I'd want him to focus and see how great he could be at one thing.
Now, no one would ever accuse you of being a teleprompter reader, but it feels like you get a production level of credit on MLB Now, and that is your baby. Tell us more about it.
Well, I love doing what I find fascinating. Today on MLB Now, and it's on, I think, I guess 11 a.m. your time, Monday through Friday, today I defended that Jason Hayward deal. Now that the Jason Hayward era is over in Chicago, yeah, it didn't work out. But it worked out. They got a championship. He was there.
It was an adventure.
Yeah, and it was. But you look back at what he was at the time, and it was, we were just starting to understand what the true value, quantifiably, of fielding and base running was. And Jason Hayward hit the free agent market when he was 26, the number one fielder in the game and the top five base runner. And at the time, he was still an above average hitter. So I thought it was a good deal at the time. I would still defend it. Could I have known that he was just never going to hit again? I don't think the Cubs could have known that. And I certainly didn't know it. But that's the type of thing we do on the show. Let's go back and really look at it and take a look at the rest of that 2015 free agent class. He was not the worst signing that year. There was like 6 or 7 that were worse.
You make baseball fans smarter. You make the sport more interesting. And again, 11 years already on MLB Network. Time flies.
It does. I enjoy it. Like, I love digging deep into baseball, right? Watching the trends and following and you know, honoring the history, doing the Hall of Fame, to do baseball every day is fantastic. It's all I really want to do.
Thank you for doing it a little with us tonight, Brian. Really appreciate it.
All right. Always appreciate it. You too. Take care.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.